Would you join with me in prayer? Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. It doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way. And it's still true. We have this new virus and an old sin problem. And we don't just need to tweak ourselves a little bit here and there. We need a whole new master. We need a whole new life. We need a whole new heart. And I love that we are diving into this message series called Spirit Driven, because it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are going to help lead, to help serve, to help witness, to help care for all who are in need in these days. You know, it's interesting though, still today, the polls say that the majority of American parents, their number one thing they want for their children is to be happy. How's it working for you? But I think the thing that my kids need more than anything else today is to be courageous, to be good. Let's face it, 2020 is a year for courage. 2020 is a year to be courageous. And that doesn't mean it's postable. It doesn't mean it looks good and you get a right angle for a selfie. Courageous probably means you didn't go there in your heart. You didn't say that thing in your heart. You shared with someone, giving them the benefit of the doubt for a change. You went outside your comfort zone and reached out to somebody you don't even know that well to make sure that they were doing okay. Huge acts of micro courage, when put together, could turn a ship. You know, a few moments of courage in my life have changed my life. For example, saying yes to Jesus when I was a kid, even though I didn't know what that would mean for my future. Or when I was in junior high and I had to climb out horizontally on a ladder that one end was on a railing and the other end was 30 feet up in a tree to get my sister's fiance's stupid cat named Buttkiss out of the tree. So my brother Wes and my dad were holding one end of the ladder. I'm crawling out on the ladder. My sister Marcy and my mother are standing 25 feet below me with somebody's winter coat like it's a fireman's trampoline rescue thing. And I had a battle with one hand reaching out past where I thought I could with this cat who was clawing and scratching my arm up past my elbow. Finally, I grabbed its tail, got it far enough away that it couldn't cling to any branches, and dropped it. And they caught it. My dad told me then, because I was a comic book collector, that being a superhero does not mean you don't have fear. Just that you do what you need to do despite the fear. It took a little courage and a little nerves, and it was a little exciting and nerve-wracking climbing out on that ladder, lying horizontally, fighting the cat. Then there was the time when I was standing in front of my 64 fraternity brothers as a sophomore in college, and I was arguing because the senior class wanted to bring something back to the house that they knew called the extravaganza, which was meaning bringing strippers into the fraternity house. Some Christians had fought hard to get it removed from the annual activities of the house. And I spoke up against that, and for the rest of my time in my fraternity house, I had at the hook busters written on every bulletin board in the house. Another time of courage was senior year, at the start of senior year of college, when I said, I better get started. When I was sitting on a train, a subway train in New York City, realizing there were an awful lot of people that didn't have the confidence I had, knowing the Creator of the universe cared about them personally, and they needed to know. I knew nothing about seminary. I'd only ever heard of one. I knew nothing about ministry. But going back to that same fraternity and telling those same guys, oh, what are you doing after Christmas? And I didn't say, I'm going to grad school. I said, I'm going to seminary. Then there was the immense amount of courage it took to ask somebody as beautiful as Lee Margaret Goodwin to marry me at Red Rocks in Colorado, which is where she lived. Then, one other time of courage to share with you that I look back and I'm like, thank you, God, for what that looked like. And it was 15 years ago, finally answering a phone call from a strangely accented woman who asked if we would take a little girl 2 weeks from now, from then, 15 years ago, who was coming up from Guyana, which I thought was in Africa because I thought it was Ghana, not Guyana, next to Venezuela, who was born with her bladder outside her body. And we had no idea that she would be with us, but she needed a host family because the other one fell through. And so baby Sarah came and lived with us for 5 months. And that one momentary act of, well, why not us? I wouldn't have called it courage at the time, set a new trajectory for my wife and me and our four kids. And I was counting up the number of months that we've had a little a kid or a youth from a third world country, 31 months of our lives being changed by them as they came up for life-threatening surgeries. But as I reflect at all the moments of courage, that's mostly where I met God. Outside my comfort zone is where God usually goes. And whether or not it felt like courage, all of those moments are some of the most shaping and best parts of my life. What kind of a story do you want to tell? The crazy thing is, especially this year, in 2020, you have the same opportunity as all of those other ones that I have shared. Whether it's online, whether it's in person, whether it's serving, whether it's joining in a protest, whether it's finding a way to minister to the poor, whether it's making a new friend that doesn't look like you. You have the same opportunity even today, and I believe it's exactly what's needed in 2020, more than ever with the climate that we have right now in our country. So I want you to understand clearly what the Bible says is our next step. We know that God has invited us to work with Him. And this is the final letter written from the Apostle Peter, 2 Peter. It's written, it's near the end of your Bible, and we'll be looking pretty closely at 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, that's how you open a letter, who's writing it, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Simon Peter's writing this, and he's writing to those, that's you and that's me, and he's writing to those who by faith have a faith exactly as precious as Peter's. Wait, this is Peter the apostle? The right-hand man of Jesus? And he's saying, you've received a faith of equal standing with ours? Let the Holy Spirit guide you here first, to get it out of your head that you are somehow inferior and your faith could never be that strong, whatever that strong is. The voice in your head that is saying, my faith could never be that strong as you look at other people, is not God's voice. It is from the pits of hell. You need to drop it now. Some of us listen to big name speakers, and a lot of us were saddened by Ravi Zacharias passing away or Billy Graham a while ago. We listen to Louis Giglio, we listen to Francis Chan, we listen to Andy Stanley, we listen to so many speakers by podcasts and YouTubes, and we listen to the amazing things they do and their amazing ways of teaching, and we think it must be easier for them. And the Holy Spirit is saying, well, that's not Scripture. it is not any easier for them than it is for any one of us. And if we have received the faith in Jesus, Peter himself says it is the same faith that you have received, equal standing as mine. The Holy Spirit is saying, you are in equal standing with them. Would you get that through your head? And now do something about it. Be courageous. Be courageous enough to serve. Be courageous enough to stick your neck out. Be courageous enough to lead someone to Jesus. Be courageous enough to love. Not just be loved. And that's only the first verse and the second verse. Look at verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. Let's face it. Even in this room with just a handful of us here, I will probably never be the best athlete. Or the best intellect here. Or the funniest person here. But there is no reason why I can't be the one that's most alive. Or the godliest person here. And it's the same for every one of you. Listen to it again. His divine power has given us everything we need. All the grace, all the sufficiency that we need for life and for godliness. You can be the most spiritually alive person that you can be. Look at verse 4. Through these, He, meaning God, has given us His very great and precious promises delivered by the Holy Spirit so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Because you've been given it, this divine nature, there's no pride. It's all completely, we're on the receiving end from God. You've been given it. It is a gift. It is not something that you came up with and now can make yourself famous giving everybody else. Because you've been given it, you have no standing over any other person. But instead, you can share it with every human being in every life circumstance, rich or poor, in every form of diversity. You've been gifted it to give it away. And then he says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a list given by the Holy Spirit for us today. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit, and then we don't just sit far away. We engage with the Holy Spirit, and we add to this gift of faith that God has given us. And look at how Peter says we're to do it. The first words in verse 5 say, for this very reason, and then what? Make every effort. Make every effort. I want you to think for a minute. What do you work hardest at? What do you work hardest at?
Being a good person?
My garden? Working out? Trying to be noticed? Trying to find a mate? What do you work hardest at? Peter's saying, in this case, bring in all your effort, all your zeal. What do you work hardest at? Think that through. Do you have the courage to make every effort toward these qualities, these characteristics in this passage? It starts with faith, which makes sense. Faith, you got to believe God. You've got to believe God. Jesus talks about it. He didn't just go around healing. He said, and believe God, believe also in me. You got to believe God. That's called faith, faith, the faith for all the 1980s people. You got to have faith. Jesus, who healed the sick, who stood with the powerless, talked about faith. His Holy Spirit not only gives you new desire to want righteousness, but His power to achieve it. He achieved everything He did, not by His divinity, but because He gave up His divinity. Remember Philippians 2. He achieved everything He did by the power of the Holy Spirit in Him. It's a power to want righteousness and to achieve it. In Christ, we've been given a new nature. And believe me, the last 2.5 or 3 months, I've found I've got a lot of other natures. They were exacerbated during this time of COVID. And if COVID has taught me anything, it has taught me there are other natures out there that try to make up who I am, like laziness, depression, self-centeredness, apathy, irritation. I was not thriving in the months of March and April, okay? We've been given over all those other natures a divine nature in Christ, a new nature by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus went to the grave for all my sins and every other nature. And if it's a nature that is not of God, why would I even want to mess with it anyway? He rose from the grave and put a new nature in me. God's presence, His Holy Spirit in you. You can't just have faith. But from that faith, you and I are called by God to add to it. First of all, virtue. Another word is goodness. It has to do with moral excellence in your actions, in your purity, in your thoughts, in your posts, in the sites you go to, basically in your choices, your time. For some of us, we need to stop listening right now and start repenting. Because what we are doing is anything but offering people virtue. I also think that we are seeing broken lives and pain rising up because of the privatization of faith. You know, it was really popular in the 1900s, back in the 1900s, to say, oh, my faith is a private faith. Because we wanted to avoid awkward, we didn't want to be rude in some way. But I believe because of the privatization of our faith, it did not go public in a way that impacts the lives of the people in our country, let alone in the world. In other words, we believe, but it doesn't make 1 ounce of difference because we haven't added to our faith a virtue lived out. And then Peter said, add to virtue knowledge. How are you doing in knowledge? How are you doing in your spiritual knowledge? Have you been working harder at trying to understand God? Or you just wonder for 30 or 40 seconds and then move on to whatever's entertaining us at the time. Have you been working harder to understand God, the truth about God, the Word of God, how are you doing in your study of the Word of God? You know, I've had some really meaningful conversations with people who are passionate, they're strong in their thinking, they are great in their serving, who'd say, I've never really read the Bible, but... And then they proceed to tell me different things. Maybe it's time you read the Bible. We have copies of the story that you can read the overarching narrative of it. But to get time in the Bible, it is meditative literature. It is transformational literature. It is the Word of God living and active. I have to admit, reading can make me sleepy. But in literally 12 minutes a day, you could read the entire Bible in a year. And there's audible Bibles now. Hey, a brand new invention that's really not brand new. You can listen to God's Word while you cut the grass. Audible Bibles read it to you. And that has been a game changer for me, I admit. It's time to make every effort to add to your faith virtue, to add to virtue knowledge. And now, to add to knowledge, self-control. We all have natural desires. They're not all bad, but they are all under new management when we become a Christ follower. We have faith, virtues, and knowledge, and now we add self-control. The person who is able to master his or her sensual desires, their tweets, their posts, their shares online, the one who's able to master their time, to master their choices. One big thing that helps in self-control is learning not to compare yourself to other people. Oh my gosh, if we could get one thing straight, that God never compares us to anybody else but sees us with the eyes of His Son. If we could get that one idea, that one truth through our head, it would help so much with self-control. Learning not to compare yourself to others. The idea that I'm good enough for Jesus in this area is all I need. Church, it's time to make every effort here. I hope you'll go back and revisit this list and break it apart and what it reflects into your own life. Then, add to self-control perseverance. Perseverance, it's weightlifting. When you have a weight on you, you keep holding it up and you don't let it go. And that goes for all that tempts you or works against you and makes you want to quit. One of the things that hit me hard is I am not very patient with myself sometimes. Be patient with yourself. That is a form of perseverance. Don't just quit or give up or get all frustrated with yourself when it's not going well. You know, most of us pray, Lord, get rid of this weight that I'm under. But we're not so concerned with steadfastness that only occurs when I've got some weight that I'm carrying. What's faith with no steadfastness? What's knowledge with no steadfastness? What's self-control without perseverance? Our problem is we care way more about our comfort than we do about our character. And then Peter says, add to perseverance godliness, a reverence and a respect for God. God, the Holy Spirit in you. And add to godliness mutual affection. Do we love each other like that? I think this brotherly love, this mutual affection, is what could turn the tide even more than protests. If we really lived it, if we lived out love for each other instead of wet blankets for each other, to put it nicely. Rather than Christians living their lives annoyed with each other, how much does annoyance run your life? You've known people like this who live with godliness, mutual affection. They walk in, and everyone feels a little more cared about and a little more caring toward everybody else. And eventually, it's the grumps that stand out. But to be authentic, it has got to be persevering and done with virtue and done with an eye on God. Add to this affection and love. This is love based on who God is and who you are. Love. Finally, we get to love, huh? This love, it's not based on who the other person that you're wanting love from is. It's based on God. It is who you are. It is what is in you. It is who is in you. Anytime you love someone and you objectify them, you open yourself up to lust, wanting something from them, which is, how can I use them to get my needs met? This agape love is of God is toward them. It is a one-way, get out of yourself kind of love. It keeps us from turning around with the same hate and anger that they are showing. Look at verse 8 now. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Christ. We've been looking at all of these in 2 Peter. Tell me, are they increasing in your life? Can you name how God is working in you or through you in these ways? I'm not asking, are you better than other people? But are they increasing in you? More faith, more virtuous, more self-control, more loving. And then there's a word of hope, and it's this. It doesn't matter where you are now. It's where are you heading. It doesn't matter what level you've been at in these areas. But the question is, are they abounding more than before? Because of Jesus, our past does not have to equal our future. Could you walk in the Spirit with more and more and more of this? This week, my question is, what will you work hardest at? What will you make every effort doing? Parenting? Building a relationship? Helping fight injustice? You're focused on these things, and I think that they are so important, but don't forget Peter's words. If you pursue all those things, if you make every effort to add to your faith, be a faith-filled person who's parenting, who's building a relationship, who's helping fight injustice. And as you pursue all those things, make every effort to add to that virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, affections, and love. Peter goes on to say this, sort of like my problem last night when I lost my glasses. In chapter 1, verse 9, whoever does not have these things is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their past sins. Don't forget the Holy Spirit is filling you to live a whole new life. And then picture what 2020 has yet to look like as we commit ourselves to this today. I want to take a moment to pray, and it's the simple chorus, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Would you sing this prayer with us? Lord, as I pray, as I think about this, maybe it is our sin that has blinded us to our part that you've given us for living it out, adding these gifts that you give us. Lord, we repent right here that you would help us lead a new and courageous life in Christ from this moment on by the power of your Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we realize that we are talking about the elements of your character that we can add to our lives. It's simply wanting more of you when we want and seek perseverance or godliness. It's more of you when we want love, when we want affection. It's more of you that we need. And Lord, we know, we hear you saying, just get to know me, and I'll be the one to guide you, to help you, to uphold you. I am the living God who sees the hurting, the living God who sees in the darkness, and I have not been overcome. And it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.